is the day which the Lord has made. We will okay. Let's try this again. Let's wave these around, okay? Wave them around. Okay, let's holler out, Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Let's try it. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Man, that is a congregation that has come expecting something to happen today. Did you come expecting God to move? No matter what you're going through this morning when you woke up. No matter what you went to bed with when you went to sleep last night. Did you come with an expectant heart and say, God, I am waiting and expecting you to move in this service today. I don't care if you're moving and not moving in the person sitting next to me, but I've come expecting you to move in my heart today. Man, that's a mindset that we have to get our heads around. I have come expecting you to move in my life today. God, I pray and I want and I desire you to move in everybody's life, but today I'm coming expecting you to move in my life today. And if by chance you move in my neighbor's life, who may or may not be a stranger or a family member, hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. We give you praise and honor and glory. Today's scripture reading is from Zechariah 9, chapter 9, verse 9 through 10. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt and foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Amen. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Well, the disciples have gathered together, and over their time spent with Jesus and before that, they heard a lot of these things, the prophecy from Zechariah, and they heard these things taught before. But they couldn't put all the dots together. They couldn't connect those dots all the time. Jesus would say these things, and they weren't grasping what he was saying until he was gone from their presence. And until he was crucified, and until he died and was buried and rose again. And then they said, oh, this is what he was talking about. Oh, this is what it meant. This says in Zechariah, he prophesied and said he will be riding on a donkey, lowly and riding on a donkey. Not a big, mighty, white stallion, the horse of champions. The horse that takes kings and leaders into battle, but a lowly donkey. They didn't understand all these things until afterwards. Today, as we celebrate Palm Sunday and Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, I want to remind you of a little sub-story. I mentioned it a couple years ago. And it's from Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And it says they're getting ready to head towards Jerusalem. They've got a few little towns to go. Matthew 10, verse 46 says, now they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great multitude went with him, and blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. You see, he apparently, being blind, had heard about this blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus, this king. And he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. I'm sorry, the verse before that. Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they're all going, Bartimaeus, shh. This is Jesus coming to town. This is Jesus walking past you. Don't holler out at him. And then Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. Now those that are trying to silence Bartimaeus are now cheering him on. Go, go, be of good cheer. He's calling you up. He rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni," that is teacher, "that I may receive sight." And then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, for your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. And I like that story. And when I mentioned it a couple years back, I said, who are you in that character? Or in that story, which character are you? Are you the one calling out, "Jesus, Son of David, save me. Have mercy on me." Are you crying out to Jesus? Are you one in the crowd that says, "Shh, don't bother Jesus. It's Sunday. He's working. Don't bother Jesus. He's having a little parade here. He's getting ready to have his triumphant entry in a couple towns down. Leave him alone. He's a busy man. He's important." Are you the one saying, "Hey, go to Jesus, and he's calling you"? I'll say this carefully. Or are you the Jesus character here that has mercy on someone? Now, hang with me, church. Or are you the flim-flam artist? The one that's saying, "Shh, be quiet. Go, he's calling you." Going with the crowd. Hey, they're saying, "Be quiet. Hey, be quiet, be quiet." Oh, they're calling you up there. Oh, go up there, go up there. We've got to figure out where we are in these stories and who do I represent in them. I should be representing the one that has mercy on somebody. I should be representing the one that's calling out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me. Jesus, save me." I should be the one encouraging others, "Go to Jesus. He's calling you. Go to him." Now, after this, blind Bartimaeus received his sight. And says he immediately had his sight. And he went on. Mark chapter 11, verse 1, right after that, is talking about the triumphant entry. And church, there's a lot of things that are happening in this next week in Jesus' life. And we'll be reading an awful lot of that. I'll be reading a lot of it. Now, what I won't do is read all this that represents that week, but we're going to read a lot. So please hang with me and listen carefully to what we're reading. Mark chapter 11, verse 1 through 11 talks about his triumphant entry. And it says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and he said to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has tied, on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it.' And immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by a door outside the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing, loosing the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought back the colt to Jesus, and they threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees, and they spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now, I like that story. It's got some good information. If we flip over to Matthew chapter 21, just verse 9 and 11, it says the same thing. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. All the city was moved, and they said, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. It says the same thing. Now again, there's a week of events that are happening. He goes through there, and he has this triumphant entry, this parade, if you will, in his honor. And they're throwing their coats down there. You don't do that when Jimmy Joe comes home. You don't do that for the small things. You do that for something big. You're throwing your garment on the ground. You're waving those palm branches. And you're crying out. And it doesn't say, they just said, Hosanna. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. No, it says they cried out. They're crying these things out because they know who this is. Today, as we wave these around and say, Hosanna, do you know who he is? Do you know the importance of this man in your life? Where you can cry out. Jesus, it's late. The next day he goes into the temple. And again, many events start happening. Jesus cleanses the temple. He gets upset at what he sees in the temple. Money changers making money in the temple. He gets mad and he flips over tables. He says, you've made this a den of thieves. He's questioned by pretty much everyone, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Everybody's questioning. Even the common folks are saying, who is this guy? Now, it's interesting. At some point, Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say I am? Well, they say you're this and that and this and that. He says, no. Not asking who they say I am. Who do you say I am? You remember Peter was the one that responded. You are the Christ. And yet there's events that happen in this next week that he couldn't say who he was, or he didn't say who he was. And he denied Christ. Denied knowing Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. Have we denied him in just our daily living? We might not have said, I don't know you. But through things that we've done or said or actions, we have certainly demonstrated that we don't know him for who and what he is. He's questioned by everyone. He tells parables, stories, so that those people listening can understand what he's trying to say. He predicts future events. He predicted the destruction of the temple. He predicted his death. He predicted Peter's denial of him. In the midst of the events in this week, he got together and he instituted the Lord's Supper. He washed the feet of the disciple, which is what we'll be doing Thursday night. And he said, I do this as an example. Our table right back there against the wall says, do this in remembrance. That's in reference to the Lord's Supper. But he did just a few other things. And he said, do this as an example, or I leave this with you as an example. And that is one of the things he did when he washed the feet of the disciples. He says, this is an example. He's come to town. He's gone through these things in the week. And then midweek, all of a sudden things change. He's had his meal with the disciples. He says, hey, guess what?
one of you is going to hang me out to dry.
In Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, verse 39. And I believe we're going to finish up, in Luke chapter 22 and 23. Luke chapter 22, verse 39, it says, "Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.'" You know, that's part of the Lord's Prayer. "Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil." And he's telling his disciples that. "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. Well, if that was my stone's throw, it would be this front row. For others, it would be a little further. But he wasn't far away, in other words. And he knelt down and he prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." That's hard for us to pray these things. When we pray, we want our will. We want our wants and needs answered by God. "Father, I really need your help. I need, I want, I desire." But I would dare say rarely do we say, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, he had come to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Interesting, it says sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation," which he had already warned them about. "Hey, I need you to get up and I need you to pray." And while he was still speaking, let me stop there a minute. Church, when we have our prayer nights, be reminded of this. The disciples were tired. They were filled with sorrow. He said, "Hey, I'm going to be going away." They had stuff going on. But Jesus went off and he prayed and he came back and they were asleep. But he told them, "Wake up. Why do you sleep? Rise and pray." "Well, I can pray right here, Jesus." "Yeah, but they went to the garden with him. Go where he is calling you. Pray lest you enter into temptation." While he was still speaking, behold, a multitude showed up. And he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Just asked him point blank. He knew he was going to do it. He told them when they were all sitting around at the Last Supper, "One of you is going to betray me." "Is it me? Is it me? Is it me?" "Hey, it's this one." When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try and seize me there. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Now, when this had happened, Peter was, needless to say, upset.
And now some other chain of events happen. They arrest Jesus in the garden. They take him. They present him. Excuse me. They present him to Pontius Pilate. And they said, hey, what do you want me to do with this guy? So in Luke chapter 23, Jesus is handed over. And Pilate says, I can't find any fault in this man. But they were more fierce, saying, he stirs up people, teaching throughout all of Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place. Then Jesus is handed over to Herod. Oh, in the meantime, they mock him and they beat him. We talked about this a little bit in Wednesday night Bible study. The Passion of the Christ. You know, I'm thinking, oh, he was beaten. That's no good. But when you see it on the Passion of the Christ and what they beat him with, and those sharp metal pieces digging into his flesh, you're like, oh, it wasn't like he got a spanking. He got a beating. It was brutal. Luke chapter 23, verse 13 says, then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priest, the rulers, and the people, said to them, you have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod. For I sent you back to him, and indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast. And then they all cried out at once, saying, away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Oh my goodness, take this teacher, put him in prison, and release the guy that has committed murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them. But they shouted, saying, crucify him! Crucify him! Then he said to them the third time, why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices, crucify him! Crucify him! You know, that's a far cry from Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. My message today is waving your faithful banner. Waving your faithful banner. And this is it. When you say Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of David, Hosanna in the highest, you've got to maintain that banner with faith when things are rough. Waving your faithful banner even in situations and circumstances that are unpleasant to you. Well, I had a tough situation come up. Do we pitch that banner? Do we holler out, crucify him, crucify him? I'm going to trade this faith journey for another journey. Give me Barabbas. Give me his journey. Oh, I got to walk with a guy that's committed murder. We might ought to think that one through. But they hollered out again and they were insistent. Crucify him. Crucify him. Verse 23, but they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priest prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested.
And he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison, but he delivered Jesus to their will. I'm wondering how long it took them to come to they made a bad choice. At what point did they say, uh-oh, we might have messed up on this one? Now, when they turned him over, as they led him away, it says in verse 26 of Luke 23, now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon of Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. You see, after beating Jesus, they made Jesus carry his cross until he could carry it no more. And Simon from Cyrene, they made carry it. Verse 27, and a great multitude of people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? Verse 32, there were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they divided his garments and they cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with him sneered and said, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. Even the soldiers mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the King of Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrews. And it said, this is the King of the Jews. You know, people will mock us just like the criminals did. You're a Christian and you've got these problems in your life. Can't your God deliver you from that? Can't your God rescue you from this or that? Can't your God protect you? Can't he heal you? This is the King of the Jews. Even the thieves were saying to Jesus, if you are the King of Jews, save yourself. And people say that all the time. If your God is real, tell him to come down and do this. He's not a magic genie putting on a magic show. Presto whammo here. Everything's fixed. Verse 39, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Even that criminal knew Jesus had done nothing wrong. He said, we're getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he turned to Jesus and said,
Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Oh, some people get really upset at that last minute call to salvation. I don't know why.
Jesus delights every time there is a new believer, regardless of how much time is left. He delights in that.
And Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
You know, in my notes I have a lot of extra things written out to the side. But in the end, again, I want us to think, where do we fit in these characters and in this story? Which character do we represent today? Because yesterday we may have represented another character. Tomorrow we may represent another one. Waving your faithful banner, not your ever-changing banner. We change these banners to the seasons. But our faith banner should be faithful. It should be steady. We should be anchored when those storms come about. Verse 44, now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, they beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and a just man. He had not consented to their decision and their deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. And this man went to Pilate and he asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and he wrapped it in linen. And he laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of rock where no one had ever lain before. That day was a preparation and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. And then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oil, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we celebrate Christ's entry into Jerusalem to die for our sins, we confess that we have not hailed you as king. We have not gone before you in the world with praise and for brief faith that fades in trouble, for enthusiasm that fade out, for hopes we parade but do not pursue. Lord, we ask your mercy on us. Forgive us, God, and give us such trust in your power that in every city we may live for justice and tell others of your loving kindness. You sent Jesus Christ to enter our world to save us from sin. We thank you for the glad disciples that are around us who greeted him with praise and spread branches in his pathway. And we thank you that he comes again to enter our lives by faith. And that as new disciples, we too may shout Hosanna and welcome him, the King of Love, Jesus Christ our Savior.
while waving our faithful banners. Amen.